He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, here we are. It's He Said, She Said, June 2012. And
how did that happen? 1 month just flew by.
Time is a continuum and is incognizant of our awareness of it. In fact, there's new science that suggests that it doesn't even exist.
Oh, sorry I even mentioned it. I'm sorry.
But in the relative practical sense, yes, time flies when you're having fun. Time flies when you're busy. Time flies when your work is the same as having fun.
That's right. And I've been busy and I've been having a lot of fun.
No kidding. And we're going to talk about what's been making you so busy lately and how great it is to be here in Vernon and how wonderful it is to be close by the side of our lovely daughter, Ruby, as she goes towards the final end of her third trimester. We're all getting excited about that. But in the meantime, let's get to what you specialize in and do the best. What is cooking?
What's cooking is raw spinach on the bottom. Well, because I've been so busy, I didn't feel one night like making a salad or even preparing the dressing. And no, I didn't have any in store because I'd been so busy working that I didn't have any extra, which is really nice to always have that everyday healthy salad dressing in the fridge. But it wasn't handy for me, so I was too tired to do anything. So what I did was I had a bag full of organic spinach, and I added on top of that organic spinach a beautiful rice dish that I had some extra rice left over and some steamed vegetables. I mixed them together, added a nice curry to it and some curried prawns, and I plopped it, the hot rice and the prawns, all on top of the raw spinach. Now, what this does is it slowly wilts the spinach, and it was absolutely delicious. And it saved me from making a salad, and I got my spinach in.
Awesome.
Like Popeye. And I said to you when we were eating it, I said, I'm going to talk about this on SNU.
Yeah, well, of course, spinach is one of my favorites and always has been. As far as I can remember, at least, I love to eat it raw in a whole variety of ways. And, of course, steaming it changes its texture, and visually it looks like something altogether different. But I also love it that way, especially when I'm mixing it with, say, some turkey breast or some type of tissue protein. I like to sort of eat them at the same time, and the spinach kind of hydrates the dryness of a protein if you're eating it that way.
Are you trying to tell me that my proteins are dry?
No, but relatively speaking,
yes,
they can't compete with the volume of water that's in a plant.
Very well put. Very well put. So yes, just like Popeye, eating your spinach is good for the muscle.
No doubt, and I did some research on why that is, and in fact, that is true. There is something in spinach called betaine, and betaine works like B12 and folic acid and B6. It's a methyl donor. It helps prevent the accumulation of homocysteine. Today in functional medicine, they look at one of the biomarkers that is of concern, which is homocysteine, to see if it's too high, and that's a risk factor for Alzheimer's and artery disease and heart disease. So spinach actually works as a preventive medicine to prevent heart attacks and damage to the brain.
So who would have thought, huh?
Plus, it's also fantastic at building muscle, because after you train and hit the muscle hard and break it down and force that process of remodeling, spinach betaine comes to the rescue and helps reduce some of the inflammation and feeds the tissue with the nutrients it needs to facilitate growth.
Well, there's a multitude of ways that you can make spinach and add it into your diet. I do know people that put raw spinach, organic spinach is best. They put it right into their protein shake. Something I have never done this before, but we juice it. We put it through the juicer. But apparently they love it and they say it's fantastic. So that's another good way to get it in if you don't want to eat it raw. And it's a good way to get it in if kids don't like spinach and you want to get it into their diet, is put it into a protein shake or mix it up with a carrot juice. You can't really taste it.
No, and of course the oxalic acid, which is in spinach, gives you that sort of furry feel on your teeth when you're eating it.
Yeah.
And there's some concern about that acting as a thyroid inhibitor, much like some of the theoglycinates in the thyroid disruptor foods like broccoli and the group of vegetables associated with that. Do you know offhand what that group is called? The group of vegetables that are known to inhibit thyroid function?
Cruciferous.
Cruciferous is good. Absolutely. That group...
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
I win.
That group of plants, collard is another one. There's a whole range of these things, and they, apparently the chemistry changes, and we know this, that cooking changes things.
Yes.
And it destroys some vitamins, and it inhibits enzymes, and that can be, in the case of spinach, a bonus if you're sensitive to that oxalic acid.
Right. Now, what is it about the gout-prone people that may be affected by the purines in this food? So that's another person that has to be careful about eating this type of food.
Well, this is when we get into the research, and of course anybody with the inability to metabolize purines is usually lacking pantothenic acid, B5, and that's the stress vitamin that is depleted through stress. And of course, the big toe disease, what's that called now? People with the gout, right?
Yeah.
Well, it hits people in the big toe, and it's just a reminder of the civilized approach to modern eating and the opulence of our rich, lusty diet, right?
Right, right.
So we're getting too many creams and extras that are non-essential, that are consumed only for culinary pleasure and not for biological necessity.
Well, that disease, everybody has a weak link, so that disease comes out in different parts of your body, right?
Yes, and then we're reminded of the principle of synergy and of the CHI prime directive, which is to supply your biological demand.
That's right. So, unfortunately, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. Some foods that are healthful can be destructive to some people, which is very interesting. As you mentioned, the thyroid inhibitors, such as the broccoli, the cruciferous vegetables, right? So I like to steam a lot of mine for myself because I do have some thyroid issues myself, which everybody should get checked on their thyroid. Big one, right?
Yeah, I think that if you mixed and matched, if you, instead of just doing one system all the time, endlessly, took the middle approach. I watched a great video last night on the life of Siddhartha, the Buddha, and he discovered that the best way to attain enlightenment is the middle path, not the extremes. And it seems like many people get caught up in the extremes, whether it's with addiction and drugs or alcoholism or food. Food is a drug.
Yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the middle path, right?
The middle path, which is blood type B all the way, baby.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So whatever meal you make, especially the rice dish, which was really nice with the sautéed vegetables in it, just plop it on top of this raw spinach, and you got yourself a really nice little meal.
Yeah, it's very practical. I did it the other night, and I love to have my big salad, you know, with the
I know you do.
Everyday
we both
salad
do.
Dressing. But in this case, you did that for me, as you normally do, and you just threw it on a plate and put the stuff on top and sort of cut it up, and you get several birds with one stone.
So I said, Corey, I'm not making a big salad tonight because I'm too darn tired, so this is what you're going to get, and you quite enjoyed it, so that was good. I said, I got to talk about this one. So there you have it, raw spinach on the bottom.
Cool. Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Matt Kendrick, CSNA Master. And I got to tell you, I love his accent. Although he doesn't think he's got an accent. He thinks that we've got an accent. But he lives in England, and he owns and operates a full-on health and fitness facility, which I'll tell you, I would love to be a member of this organization. And the one thing that really stood out for me that Matt said was that when someone joins his facility, they want them to come in and use the facility to get well and to be healthy and to take advantage of the opportunities to enhance their well-being. They just don't want somebody to come in and join up and they don't care if they ever see them again, which I know there are gyms out there that do that.
Yeah, well, it's all short-sighted. It's like Wall Street and the big banks. They're going for the bucks, not concerned about long-term effects on even themselves. So it's an attitude, and it's not tied in with what true health is all about. But you want people to come back. You want people to enjoy your environment, and you develop relationships with these people. But, you know, you train people, and you set up a standard which people, when they first come in and interact with, and they know if they're not looking for that style of treatment or service, then they'll know right away, and then they'll go somewhere else where they can just get the quick fix.
Exactly. And another thing that Matt does is he continues to study and build his knowledge up on a regular basis. He's doing live blood cell analysis right now, he said. So this is wonderful for his clients. Right?
Well, he's doing exactly what you and I both do, what we teach and recommend, and that's why we have our CHI education partners. We want people to expand their horizons. Let's say that you take the CSNA, then you become a master, and you're even teaching the program. Do you stop there? Of course you do not. Of course, we're going to be building new courses as we continue to expand and grow and visualize and get new ideas. But there are other sources of information, of specialty. Like, we don't specialize in live blood cell analysis, and so take a course and do it by distance learning. It's a very practical and effective way to get the information that you need, and then you can start living the life or utilizing that in your business.
Exactly. And you also asked him a question about the final dissertation, how our students get through all the modules, no problemo, but when it comes to that darn final dissertation, this is when there's a hiccup on the road, and he said, because they've pretty much been handheld the whole way, tells you how to do it, you just do this step, that step. But the final dissertation, the way you've got it set up now, is pretty much does it on its own, because the student already knows all the answers. They know what they want to say in their head, but sometimes I think they're a little intimidated by you may think that it's not the right answer. Whatever they write down is the right answer, because that's what they feel. If they've gone through all the 10 modules, they've listened to the sports nutrition update, they've had their consultations with you on a monthly basis, I mean, why would they not say the right thing, write it down?
Yeah, and it's the way that it's dispensed that makes it unique to them and their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get 10 people that are experts in preventive medicine and are all degreed up their yin-yangs, and they all give a lecture, and they're going to dispense that information uniquely.
Yes.
Even if they had to speak on that same topic, but they weren't allowed to borrow the outline that the other person was preparing. The way they presented that information, the way they said the information, how they moved and the tone, their voice skills, flexion, all that is unique to that person.
Right.
So that's what I want to preserve, is the uniqueness.
Yes.
In the same way that we are all biologically unique.
We're all biological butterflies.
But one thing that is apparent is that when you're left to do something on your own, you have to pull up your britches and do it. You have to find a way to do it. So that is why, to some degree, the dissertation is about you and yourself and your ability to do it without my direct guidance. Yes,
exactly.
We have evolved, and we now have a dissertation that is electronic, and all the fields are limited to a certain word total, you know, compared to the original ones that we had, which
yeah.
were all great.
Yeah.
But now this is very slick. You just receive it by email. You store the file in a folder in your computer, and you start working on it, and you can review the CSNA. And we had one person that did it in one night. We've had another person that did the whole course in 1 month, but he has yet to complete his dissertation.
There you go.
So it's very strange.
It is strange.
We've got people out there that are still thinking about their dissertation, and you know what? Great. Wonderful.
Should I mention some names?
No, we're not mentioning any names, because we love everybody,
yeah,
and everyone's
exactly.
doing their own thing in their own way.
But you know what this proves to us? I mean, because you got to understand that, I mean, I've been doing this with you for many years now, and even when somebody emails me about the course and wants to find out information, I can tell their personality by the way they email.
Yes.
It's really funny how that is. And the one thing that I'm a real stickler on is I want to know if you got my email. So please, you know, send a receipt, that I get a receipt back, because sometimes I don't get the receipt back, and I'm not sure if you have received my email, so I keep hounding you all the time. But this is part of what it's like when you work with other clients. When you have your own business, you've got to get back to your clients. You've got to follow up with your clients. You just don't ignore them. And this is one thing that I pride myself on, is the fact that I do get back to my students. And this is what I want to try to instill in our students, is that this is what you need to do in your business. Get back to your clients. Even if you have to say no to a question, no, I can't do this, don't just ignore them. Don't ignore them. Come on. Be a man.
Yeah, be a professional also. I think that, of course, the CHI prime directive is supply of biological demand. The CHI secondary directive is answer your emails and telephone calls promptly as a professional.
Yes.
And as Brian Tracy says, eat the frog first thing in the morning. Do what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Do it the first thing at the beginning of the day. Get it out of the way, and then it's clear sailing from that point on.
Exactly. Absolutely.
But the people that we really respond well to are the people that send us an email back and say, my goodness, I can't believe how quickly you responded.
Yeah.
So, and also, what about the silence is golden being shattered by the fact that when people don't respond, I think it's their way of saying no.
That's the new wave, right?
But that is a rude way. It's not courtesy rich. I think that if you just ignore people and don't respond and connect, like you can say, it's okay to say no.
Yes.
People, I don't know why, they find it confrontational, they're intimidated, or they're aggravated, or whatever, but these are even people that we know that are true professionals in the industry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That they themselves don't have what it takes to respond correctly. Maybe they're overloaded, maybe it's not a priority, maybe they have never been taught and they don't know how, or
that. Well, you know what, you don't burn your bridges, babies. You don't burn your bridges, because you never know when you're going to end
There's
up.
There's a lot of bridge burning going on out there.
A lot of bridge burning, and it's really, really unfortunate. So we really have to be careful about that. So I'm a real stickler on that. And you know what? I'll tell you where I learned all this from was from the dance industry back in the 70s. And you know what? I'm right back now in the dance industry, and I'm using the same techniques. And I tell you, it's working for me, right?
Well, let's get into that. And then finally, we'll just leave off with the CSNA master himself, Matt Kendrick. I admire greatly, and we wish always the best for him and his wife, Sally, and their new found love and a priority in their life, their little baby.
Mason,
that's
yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we're watching people now that we've met expand and grow their families, and they're teaching their children how to live well, the science of living well, juicing, dietary supplements. The world's getting worse, and it's also getting better.
That's right. Well, thank you, Matt. Really appreciate it.
So let's look at our next topic. What is our CHI update?
Well, our CHI update is what I'm doing. I'm dancing with the stars, the Vernon stars. And the stars are, they've taken this, like I've mentioned before, from the Dancing with the Stars on TV today, the American style. But that is from England. They've been doing Dancing with the Stars in England for years. And then the Americans got a hold of it, and then now they're doing it. And then Vernon got a hold of it to raise money for the hospice, and she's raised almost $60,000 for hospice, which is really fantastic. And Lorna Robb, who is the owner of the dance studio, and I'm working with her, she was also nominated for Woman of the Year because she does a lot of charity work as well. So she's just a really great gal to work with. And the one thing that I really like about her is that she lets me use my creative juices. I give her an idea, and she says, go for it. And I really like that, because she trusts me. I'm not just a flake, and it's whimsical, because she just respects me, and she trusts me that I say I'm going to do something, and I do it. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
That's called integrity.
Yeah. It's not about if I do it or not. It's about me. It's all about me, my selfish benevolence, right? If I don't do something that I say I'm going to do, I hurt myself. Right?
It's like cheating on an exam.
Yeah, exactly.
Or cheating on a set in the gym.
Oh.
And you're grunting and groaning, but in actuality, you're not even putting any energy at all. You're acting. You're going through the motion.
Uh-oh. I think you caught me. I think I've been guilty of doing that. And I have cheated on an exam in high school. So
you know, I can put on a fair amount of weight on the bar, say a squat, maybe 75% of what I would really do. And I can get under that thing. I could grunt and groan and scream, and people would think that I'm just dying. But in actuality, I'm not even trying that hard. So it's possible for people to fake it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess, well, I won't go there.
You can't fake action, Corey. I just missed that. What did
you
say?
Well, I was just talking about those who fake it, right?
You can't fake action, though. You've got to show up. Even Dr. Oz talked about that. He says, I'm really a stickler. My kids ask me for advice. And the one thing, piece of advice, show up. Be there. Show up. If you say you're going to do it, bloody well do it. Right? And if you can't do it, say, no, I can't do it. Going back to what we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, just say no. You can't say yes to everything, right? You're only one person. You've only got so much energy. And sometimes you have to say no. But don't be afraid to say no if you can't do it. I mean, you don't have to be mean and arrogant about it. Just say, no, I can't do it at this time, but ask me again in the future. I may have time because I would love to do it.
Well, right? If we disregard the huge downside of war and military, the value there I see is the discipline and the training.
Yes.
And the focus on physical training. So why would we do that? Well, if we put ourselves in the strongest state prior to entering into the state of war, we have less chance of dying sooner, basically. And I think that paradigm can be translated into real life, and that's one of the reasons why we do what we do. We're promoting a lifestyle that helps preserve you and keep you well and strong.
Exactly. So anyway, that's my little dancing story, and it's funny to get back into dancing again and doing some of these competition routines, and I'll tell you, I can get away with it because I'm lean and I'm fit and I'm healthy, but I'll tell you, it's not the same as going to the gym or running or swimming. I mean, lifting your leg up and trying to look nice and do it and not mince up your face and not sweat. Boy, I tell you, it's a style of sport unto its own, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying you enjoying it, and I think that there are millions of people, men and women, adults, who think of themselves as being too old to play sport. And or people that go to the gym and there's something missing still. They're not getting what they still need. And so use the training to train for a sport. And a sport could be ping pong.
Yep.
It could
bowling.
Be dancing, bowling, anything that you love. Do it for the love, not for the money. Do it for the pure love. Don't do it for your kids or your wife or your minister. Do it for you.
Yep.
Don't do it for God. Do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And when you do it, expose yourself. Do it for the love. Now, so I find that when people find or discover or rediscover, like how I rediscovered the hammer,
mm-hmm.
you know, I used to love doing it and I was really attracted to it. I always felt like I didn't finish it. And then when I became a master's age player and took it up again, I realized, oh my God, this is wonderful. I love it. And I had the time. And it could be hockey, soccer, football, whatever. But then the training changed. I began to train not just as a bodybuilder, but when in seasons changed and the hammer season came, I would begin to then change my training, and then that created new imagination. My learning curve went up. I began to think differently and train differently, and that added to my experience.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So everything is individualized, but you can't, I mean, you still have to have the muscle. Right.
Right. And so for
and
the trainers
no
out there,
body fat either, because no matter what sport you do, if you've got that excess body fat, it's going to hold you down. Now, is it imperative that a power lifter have a big gut?
No.
I've seen this. Now, I've seen power lifters that look pretty darn good. They don't look obese. Right?
Yes. Now, when it comes to squatting, the kind of poundage and or deadlifting, I think that to some degree, the center of gravity plays a role in the ability to lift the enormous amounts of weight that are in themselves very destructive. So what we're doing is we're taking the element of gain or winning to an extreme. You know, again, we're not paying attention to that middle path. We're going out on the extreme. Now, you get these linemen in football, you know, that weigh 300-400 pounds, and they don't have a bodybuilding set of abs.
No.
But when you run into them, they are like a refrigerator. You just bounce off and fall
That's
off.
That's what they're there for. So are they really
now,
athletic?
They are athletic. There are obese men. There are heavy-set men and women that are very athletic. They've got the talent inside of them. They tend to gain more body fat as they age because of overconsumption of the wrong foods. But then even some of these athletes, like you see the shot putters, I think the guy that had or still has the world record in the shot put. He's not particularly lean. And I remember when I competed in Australia at the World Track and Field Championships for Masters, the guy that won the hammer from Germany was, I would say, at least 50 to 80 pounds over fat.
Unreal, huh?
But he had fantastic technique.
Yeah.
And so the technique is one element of advantage, which in this case, his excess body fat was not impeding his success throwing, but it will impede his success living.
Yes, right.
See, because I noticed he had wraps all over his knees and his elbows.
I mean, really.
I mean, so he had massive inflammation going on inside his body.
Which I see a lot of in the aged, you know, who are doing...
Right, so let's say that, like that Sports Illustrated article back, I think it was in the 80s or 90s, and they asked athletes, if you could win the gold, and I guaranteed you could win the gold, but you had to forfeit your life 2 years after you won, would you do it? And like 70% of them said they would.
Unreal.
So winning is very important to a lot
of people.
Well,
it's also no foresight either.
Yeah, because when they hit that age, all of a sudden they don't want to die. They want to keep living.
Exactly. Anyways, that's very interesting. I tell everybody, just take more oils. Take more oils. Take more essential fatty acids. I'm sold on it. It just really works for me.
Yeah, and you know what? We have got to get our head around how we can lose fat by consuming more fat.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
For people to grasp, right?
Yeah, I know it is. You got to look at the difference in the oil chemistry, the fatty acids, and the effect of fat on our health and our endocrine system and what the function of fat is.
Okay, so next on our CHI update, we are gearing up for the CHI conference. All the speakers are in. We have Jason Watkin from Purica, we've got Jason Scott from Fitness Town, and we've got Dr. Brad King from Preferred Nutrition. So we're pretty excited, and you're going to be emceeing and also giving a lecture. I'm just going to be running the show. That's
yeah.
What I'm going to be doing.
Well, we certainly need someone to do that, but we're going to continue this on for who knows how long, and enjoy the process and keep pumping out that message. And hopefully people will find enlightenment and turn away from the things that are causing them pain and suffering and get into the fitness model, get into the whole food nutrition model, combine the two. And if we can contribute towards that end. Now, we bring in these speakers, and these people are really into what they're doing. They're experts in their field, like Jason Watkin from Purica. I mean, he's the formulator of recovery, and our theme is recovery. Who better to speak on it, right?
And that's a fantastic product. Fantastic. All great products are a little expensive, right? But once a year, I like to do a real hit on that. Like for 2 months, do the recovery. Take it like 10 capsules a day. And I'll tell you, it helps with my joints, and it also helps with my allergies. I've been really great. Have you heard me sneezing or anything like that?
No, it just goes to show you that the environment plays a huge role in our health.
Exactly. Plus also, too, the products and the healthy diet and la, 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 la. But that recovery is a fantastic product, and that is what our theme is all about. And the theme about recovery is not just about recovering from training. It's about recovery. Let's say you just went through a divorce. Let's say your house burnt down. Let's say someone in your family died. Recovery from any trauma in your life, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Just recovery. How do you recover from that, right?
Well, the principles are identical.
Yes.
You train hard with intensity and logic and fervor, and then you have to also apply the same science to the process of recovery. You know, adequate rest and sleep is essential. Dietary supplements. We're going to get into detail on all of this, but all of that relates to the emotions and also mental exhaustion and fatigue as well.
Fervor. That's a good name. Fervor.
You like that one, huh?
That's a new word. I haven't heard you use that one before.
I haven't used it for a while. Oh, yeah, I'll keep pulling rabbits out of my hat until the day
Fervor.
We die here.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the CHI update. It's a little rainy day here. The Okanagan, which is the desert part of Canada, is getting some rain, but everybody's thankful for the rain because it's going to be hot.
And I've been watching you getting your hands dirty in the soil. What's going on there?
Oh, I'm loving it, you know. Weeding, doing some weeding, and we've got some tomatoes and some lettuce and some green onions and some raspberries and some rhubarb. And, you know, and I'm learning that rhubarb, it's not the rhubarb itself, it's the leaves that are the poison, right?
Well, I wrote my first book called Recipe for Health, and then the next one is called Habits of Health, and there's 7 habits of human behavior that I describe that I think, and I could have expanded or chose different ones, but these are the ones that I chose: world travel, sport, music, personal hobbies, continuing education, nature walks, and gardening. Because I think there's something, and I can see you in there right now, there's a connection between you and the earth, between the soil and you. You pull things by the roots out, otherwise the weeds grow back.
Things that are not beneficial to growth.
Yes, and we have to protect.
Yeah.
We have to protect that which we want to flourish, and then we have to till. There's a work element.
Yeah.
It's back-breaking at times. It's irritating, but you have to find joy in the monotony and know that your harvest is coming.
Exactly, absolutely. Well, I'm really getting a thrill out of it.
Right on.
I'm a newbie in the gardening, but as I mentioned, for many years, I've been on the receiving end of other people's gardens. So this year, I wanted to try it on my own. So it's slowly but surely.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, well, that about sums it up. That was a great he said, she said. Dear, what is your final word?
My final word is by Loretta Young. A charming woman is a busy woman.